This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Charles Barkley, biggest takeaway from the first half?
Well, I think that's a good question.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's his job.
I came out of left field for you.
Would you expect me not to ask you anything? What you expecting to sit here and just let you?
Just look at you?
You know the game I'm watching. I'm watching Brian against MSU.
You can't watch more than one game at a time. All these TV shows at one time.
That's at night, man.
This is at night.
They're not all at the same time, man. One after the other. Ernie, I'm not going to lie. I was paying attention to the Brian score. So get at the Clark or Kenneth, please.
Kenny, you got... That is priceless.
That's a first.
That's a first.
I wasn't watching. That's somebody
He's
else.
A man of many firsts, by the way.
So I appreciate Charles Barkley pointing out the nature of a tournament where one game is after another.
Before at the same time, he hasn't quite mastered that multi-view like I do at home.
That is fair. Not that he's not at one of the best stations in the country to do that or anything.
Yeah.
Thank you to our guests today. Thank you to Ryan Baker, Sahadev Sharma, Mark Grody, Tim Doyle, also Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, Brandon Fryer, Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And most importantly, thank you to you for listening, especially on this day.
This segment sponsored by Webb Hyundai in Highland and Merrillville, Indiana. And it's a special segment because we all get to commune together. It's transitioned.
It's the best.
With Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes.
This is where you get to, you know, relax and think about your day being over. And we get to come in like a house of fire, ready to do our jobs.
For 1 hour.
For an hour. Yeah, we
got
an hour.
Because right, so there's Cubs baseball on this afternoon. So
a condo of fire.
We will be here until 2:55.
Sublet of fire.
I was waiting for the Jim Cramer house of pain for the other stock analysis you were going to do.
So wait, you're going to be done working before I even like get halfway through my next shift?
A one-bedroom townhome of fire.
Junior convertible of fire.
I won't even go on the air before you're...
You won't even have your suit on by the time we get off the air.
Dang. Studio apartment of fire.
That's right.
What are we down to? Closet?
Yeah.
Closet. Yeah. I mean, I went to sublet early, so that's like, that's a little strong. I should have...
A room at the hostel.
Yeah. I got a friend, speaking of that, hi everybody.
I got a buddy.
I got a friend whose daughter is in India right now. She's making her way across Southeast Asia, and she's a painter. She's a really good painter. She goes to hostels and offers to paint them a mural in exchange for them allowing her to stay there.
And that's pretty dope.
And she is painting her way across Southeast Asia in her 20s. And like, she brought some money, but she has barely spent any of it. And is having these incredible life experiences. So you brought up youth hostel. I threw that out there.
Wait, dang. Southeast Asia, like where? Are we talking
she's
Thailand?
In India.
Or,
she's in India right now. I forget where else she's been, but like, yeah.
Why are you looking at me like I know?
Lawrence, come on. You know my friends. You know everything.
Did you guys see the segment that they did with the donuts yesterday?
No.
Yeah, so they did a whole segment. They had the donuts in brackets on the Turner coverage of it. And I don't know which bakery brought them donuts, but it just looked like a table full of donuts. And then when they came, because they were kind of moving, like donuts were representing teams, so they were moving the donuts to each bracket. Then when they came back from break, Kenny Smith had four donuts in front of them. And I was like, yeah, man. I hear you on that.
That looks about right.
Yeah. Charles had like a coffee one. He was like, this is the best donuts I've ever had in my life.
They have they've settled in and found some very good television. Gene Steratore on there with them last night.
Like Gene Steratore after dark.
Yeah,
like,
it felt different,
was,
right?
He was just like, yeah, so, you know, it wasn't traveling, whatever.
Yeah, and because he was upstairs, he watches all the games from his little room, and they asked him to come down, and he was like, hell yeah, and he was comfortable.
It was like Gene Steratore was unlocked. A higher seat.
Yeah, but it's like, that's a tremendous career pivot. For Gene Steratore to go from hardworking ref who you'd see do an NFL game on a Sunday and a Big East game on a Monday.
No, I mean, Zach and I literally saw, like, he called a DePaul game on a Saturday and then a Bears game on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. You'd see him doing that kind of double all the time, hustling. And now he has retired and pivoted and become media and does football and basketball. That's
pretty great.
That's a good life.
Well done. Well done, Mr. Steratore, sir.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Well, and to secure the bag, I mean, he's probably making way more money doing this than
summer's off too.
Oh, he's having a much better life,
much better time,
much better life. He does if he's still in shape, but if he wants to get out of shape, he can.
Donuts.
He has
help.
That option.
He has that option. If you're refereeing, you know, if you're doing a couple of basketball games a week in an NFL game, your cardio is through the roof. So now you could just be like, yeah, I like donuts and hang out.
I do like, what's your favorite type of donut?
You know, I got to say, the glazed old-fashioned, if it's good, the glazed one. Yeah, it's tough to beat.
Cake.
Like, cake donut?
Cakes are too cakey for me.
Cake over yeast.
Cake old-fashioned.
I'm with you on that.
I'm a yeast guy.
The vanilla cream, like the and still dunking every once in a while, you can find the vanilla cream.
The Boston cream?
No, the vanilla.
I don't know if I've ever had the vanilla cream.
Really?
I prefer Cronuts. That's my favorite. That's at the top.
Those are like, that artisan donut.
The croissant with the donut.
But that's
together.
That's an actual, what do you call it? That's proprietary.
The Cronut?
Yeah. So
Cronut style, I guess.
Cronut, yes, because the place in New York that coined the phrase, like they trademark it, so everywhere else, like they flip it. It's
the dosant.
Yes. Yeah, like that.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, Cronut sounds better.
Dosant.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that before, but I'll ride with it. I will have either. I won't discriminate.
Or the croissant donut. Like, that's how some people will just say it.
That makes a little more sense.
It's a lot.
Or the donut that is a croissant. Are we getting too wordy?
That's a mouthful.
It's just so...
It's flaky, but yet light, but like...
It's gorgeous.
Like Studio Apartment of Pain.
Yeah.
I think we've chewed off, like, what? 40% of your show just in this 5 minutes? Like, what are you guys looking at?
10%.
You guys can do some more. Yeah, keep rolling. This
10%
is great.
Hey, Matt, how do you feel about that local sports team or college?
The local sports team and or the tournament's been great fun, man. Like, I have the text threads that get reinvigorated by the tournament, like with my brother and my nephew who played at Bard and was a really good point guard. So, like, the three of us will hop on in there, and then all of a sudden I'm talking hoops with people who know after I didn't know until a few weeks ago. So now you're in. It's just like, I thought yesterday was a phenomenal NCAA tournament day. I mean, UConn, Florida was tremendous. And then the Maryland stuff later. And like, even late at night as the wife has fallen asleep and I'm watching Oregon, Arizona, there was good stuff.
It was so weird to see the players acknowledged it too, the Oregon, Arizona stuff. And they're like, yeah, we were in the same conference like 6 months ago. Like, now we're over here and they're over there. But you looked at the rivalry, was like, oh, they've played 100 times. Like, these two schools have played 100 times.
Yeah.
Well, what about now? Yeah, it's weird that we're here. And it was all like a pack because they were in Seattle, right? So it's all Pac-12 audience that's there watching two former Pac-12 teams that are not in the Pac-12 anymore.
It was really jarring. I completely agree with that. And I kept thinking about Arizona, and I'm like, Big 12.
Well, if you didn't like that, let me tell you, there's going to be some more teams playing each other very soon because the SEC said we'll take about half of this Sweet 16.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see how folks were like, well, look at this. There's only 8 SEC teams left. I'm like, well, it's a tournament. Somebody's got to lose. I get they had 14 teams in or whatever it was. Somebody's got to go.
So they have 7 of the 14 teams still left, and 3/4 of the field has been eliminated. So, yeah. I think the SEC is doing pretty well.
Except for that one team.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC is doing fine. That's not even the original issue I had. I will say this. We didn't even get into this, but the situational basketball, the amount of yelling I was doing at the TV for the University of Houston to stop making boneheaded fouls, they almost tried to give away that game at the end.
But they've got too much talent, and they are coached very well. They weren't. This past weekend, you're right about that. But
just foul a 3-point shooter while you're at it.
But they're so good, and we had Boog on last week, and Boog did the Big 12 tournament. Did you guys see that floor that they had for the Big 12 tournament?
Yes, I
did
not. Wild.
He called it the Louis Vuitton floor.
Yeah, it was gray herringbone, but not. Well, it's like Brooklyn was some sort of inspiration for everybody, and that Oregon court they used to have.
Well, the Oregon court is beyond.
It's
like
cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Oregon's. They're the Boise State of basketball.
But the conference to be like, let's do something wild, is a little strange.
Well, and it was like a short herringbone, so your eye had fewer places to rest.
Yeah, it was the 12 logo. They did the XII just all up and down the floor, and it was not great to look at.
The play-in tournament affects everything. That's all I'll say about that.
It really did. It really felt like a play-in tournament thing. Felt like an NBA floor thing.
We're going to talk about that on today's show, too.
Are you going to talk about Josh Giddey getting his $30 million?
Earned $5 million over the weekend.
There it is.
Speaks is ready to give it to him, too.
Hey, his best defense was just stealing the ball from people.
Stealing the ball from people and drawing a technical on one of the five best players in the world.
I'm just going to take it.
Also, when you turn the ball over and within 2 seconds get the ball back on your own steal, like I'm going to turn it over just so I can create another steal to try to get closer to this quadruple
then
double.
Then you're stat padding?
Yeah, like,
Is that a fat lever move from back in the day?
Lafayette, fat lever.
That was my guy, Lawrence. He was the king of the quad double before anybody else
speaks.
Was.
I was telling Layla, I was like, listen, when the Bulls put out on social media one of those slideshows that's like three different players who have otherworldly stats, that's when you know you have whooped somebody's tail. Mm-hmm. And they went to L.A. and said, LeBron who?
To be fair, though, Luka did score 29 in the first half.
And Josh Giddey had the nerve to say, yeah, I want to challenge myself guarding Luka. I was like, you didn't really guard him, per se. You didn't just stay very well around him.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you got the last laugh this time.
Actually, I don't know if Fat Lever ever got the quadruple-double. He got close
in 87. Were you thinking of Thurl Bailey?
No, I was thinking of Fat Lever, who had a bunch of triples, I know. But
I don't think there's ever been a quadruple-double in the NBA.
Oh, no, there's been like four of them. Giddey was two steals away from the fifth one ever, I believe.
Oh, is that what it was?
I know.
David Robinson, didn't he do a quadruple?
Robinson.
That would
David Robinson.
Sense.
I believe Alvin Robertson got one, the old San Antonio Spur got one. He might have been a... with Milwaukee, Fat Lever, I remember, was like two steals away from a quad double, and that's where Josh Giddey was. Some crazy stuff to watch.
Yeah, so you're ready to pay him? Okay.
I'm ready to resign myself to the fact that they're going to pay him.
That's what I said. Everybody just needs to lie down.
That's a different spot.
Except two things.
What?
Josh Giddey's getting paid, and the Bulls are not getting a lottery pick. You accept those two things, you can move forward peacefully in your watching of the Bulls.
There's some good players out there, though, man.
There are. And you know what? Whoever's available at 15 or so, 15 or 16, that's who they'll be getting.
Yeah.
Might be Yakushonis. I doubt he drops that low. After Sunday, I doubt he drops that low.
I have moved to a place now of I'm rooting for the 8 seed now.
Yep, here we go. If we're going to go, let's go. If we're going to go, let's go.
Because, look, I'd rather them be in a position where they only need to win one game.
Yeah. And
then they could be sacrificed to the Cavaliers.
Yes, at the altar. Yeah.
Here you go.
Here you go. That's where we are. And once you accept it, don't you feel differently, though, having accepted it in your heart?
They're only two games away from it. They're only two games away from playing in the 7-8 game instead of the 9-10 game.
Having two bites at the apple.
David Robinson in 1994 had 34, 10, 10, and 10.
That works.
Okay.
That'd be blocks.
Yeah.
Hakeem had 18, 10, 16, and 11 blocks. Alvin Robertson is the only one ever to do it with steals. 20, 10, 11, and 10 steals. And Nate Thurmond of the Bulls did it for the first time ever. 22, 13, and 14 with 12 blocks.
Did Caitlin Clark pull this off at Iowa?
Oh, maybe.
She had 10 steals? I want to say she had a quadruple double at one point. She got so close so many times.
I'll tell you what made it into my media diet was the game highlights for UCLA and Lauren Betts.
Oh, she's my God. She's a badass, man.
She's 6'8 and a center. Do you see Michael Thompson? That would be everybody, Clay and Trace Thompson's father. Michael Thompson.
White Sox legend.
Michael Thompson tweeted that the best UCLA centers all time are Kareem, Walton, and Lauren Betts.
I believe that.
That was his tweet.
I'm with that. By the way, the women's tournament's about to get spicy. Mainly because my Mississippi State Bulldogs about to do that thing all to right. Juju and them's.
But let me take it.
We can't.
Justice for Haley Van Lith.
Oh my goodness, she looked like a maniac out there. Did you see all the people like on social media like, where was this last year for LSU? I was like,
Kim Mulkey had her out there being a distributor. That is not what she does. That woman is a killer, and someone understood the assignment and allowed her to go out there and be a killer
against her former team.
She was ready for it.
Well, back to Trace Thompson.
Yes.
White Sox legend.
He has 6 homers in the spring. He's tied for the lead in home runs in all of spring training.
Really?
With 6, yeah.
I tried to ask Clay last season because I was at the Warriors game when it was here, and I was sideline reporting, and I really wanted to ask Clay Thompson, who is your brother's favorite team, and why is it the White Sox?
He's been with them 3 times, right? I think he's been back in a Sox uniform 3 times.
Like nothing about his, at that time, impending.
He
like,
might be the White Sox favorite
professional
player.
Movement or anything like that. Nope. I need to ask you about your brother and the White Sox.
There's another former White Sox player that's tied with Trace Thompson for the most home runs in spring training.
Does he play in Miami?
No, he's on the Padres.
Gordon Beckham.
No. Gavin Sheets has 6 home runs.
I'm not surprised.
And is making the Padres.
Dude, did you see, like, there were some names that came across my feed, and it was like, and Martin Maldonado, and I was like, whoa.
Hey, Martin Maldonado made a team.
San Diego.
Jason Hayward is playing for the Padres. Jason Hayward is making
like
the Padres
on their roster?
Yeah. They have made some choices that align them to perhaps be sellers at the deadline.
But they've got some weird, it's a weird mix in that way, Lily, because like they've got some big money guys. And then they've got some El Cheapos, that's for sure.
All right, well, look, you guys can have that conversation tomorrow because Marshall's got to get to his other job.
Yeah. Go to your thing. Hey,
Speaks and I want to talk about the Padres 40-man roster.
We can do it tomorrow for sure.
Yes, I'll be here.
Good luck to the two of you. You guys are going to kill it. Today sounded really good. And congrats and all the best moving forward, all right?
Appreciate it, man. I'm just happy to be the little appetizer before the main course.
No, I'm glad you guys got a chance to talk about it the way you wanted to today. And I'm writing something. I'm going to put it out on my IG after getting a chance to talk about it a little bit on Friday. But appreciate all the listeners out there and appreciate all of you guys for doing what you do.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, they are incredible. Score middays. We are going to talk about the tournament. We are going to talk about the Bulls. I think if we have enough time, we'll try to get to all of that after Tanny's Open next here on The Score.